Pieterse, for those of you that's new here, I'm not the pastor, but I'm one of the elders, and I will be bringing you the word of God. Pastor Philip and his family went to Swakopmund. I hope for their sake they did not get east weather, because usually when it's so cold here, they have got some problems of their own with all the sand and the warm air blowing that way. So, very welcome. If you've not been welcomed yet today, I think today is a good time to give somebody you don't know a hug. Yes, that awkward pause before you jump up and go to somebody and give them a hug. Please, we will do it. I will lead by example if I have to. So cold, everybody just wants to hug once and then get back to their seat. Oh, afraid their seats might get cold. Okay, those of you that's here for the first time, I hope you feel welcomed. It's a bit awkward, but I think it's necessary sometimes just to take you out of your comfort zone, especially the way that Jesus did it. He took you so far out of your comfort zone, you will be lost to find your way back. Yes, I basically want to start with something that the Lord just laid on my heart for, specifically for today. And actually started about 3 weeks ago with Jankor, our director for Namibia from Shofar Stellenbosch, or head office, when he came here and he gave us a sermon. And it was just so, how would I call it? It was very condemning on one side, but that was not the point of the sermon. But it was something that was just so difficult for me, because it was something that was so profound. It was so illuminating in my heart, my soul. He just spoke about intimacy with God, and it was such a place where he just revealed his heart, and you could just feel God's heart coming through his sermon. But at one stage, I literally wanted to stand up and go out the door because I couldn't take it anymore. And it was simply the fact, because I was feeling so convicted of all the things that I should be doing, but actually failing in so miserably. And it's just that place that God just wants to take you and shake you a bit and say, listen, wake up. You have to be in a place where you know me, where you know my voice, and actually a deeper place where we almost go to that surface part, and we just scratch there a bit, and then it's sort of, okay, that looks nice. But I don't want to go further. It's that place where Jankos said so many times, that intimacy. And it's just something that I wanted to speak to you about. It's such an amazing word. It's so difficult to understand, actually. I'm sure if I ask any of you to explain to me what intimacy means, I would get a lot of different interpretations. Simply from what we understand the word to mean. But we'll get to that a bit later. And it is something that we actually have to fall back on as Christians. That's something so important, that part of intimacy, if we know who God is and the way that he made us and he understands us completely. He knows every fault. He knows every sin. He knows every mistake we've made, everything we've suffered. He knows it intimately. And we sometimes forget that part. And we sometimes forget that we actually have to be intimate with him as well. We need to get to know him intimately. Know the deepest part of him. And that deepest part is love. Pure. And that's something that we have to really search for. But unfortunately, there's so much in this world that we've lost. And things that happens, even for us as Christians, for me in my personal life, so many times it just feels like the wheels are coming off. And for me as a Christian, I've got that hope. I've got that place that I can actually run to God and say, God, this is too much for me. I can't handle this. I don't know how to handle this part of my life. And then I just start thinking of the world and what people go through, and they have nowhere to run. They have nowhere to turn. have to rely on their worldly understanding, maybe friends with worldly understanding, parents with only a worldly understanding. And that's so limited. They are so deprived of so much. And it would actually be funny if it wasn't so terrifying. You know that Gillette advert? How does it go? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. There's that song as well that they sing. I'm not going to try and sing it. I'm not a musician, so I will not. I might get you the song sometime and sing it to you. But unfortunately, we as Christians also fall into that trap. That we sometimes get to a place where it just gets too much to bear. And then amazingly, God pitches in those circumstances. But then instead of running to Him, we get so scared we run away. Or we forget to run towards Him. Because He's actually that salvation, that solution. But we get so distracted, or we get so afraid that we miss that mark. And the Israelites got that wrong so many times, unfortunately. But I think from their perspective, it was an association that when God pitched, people died. Literally. Because God would intervene with the Israelites when they got to a place where if they continued in that path, they would be destroyed, or He would have to destroy them utterly. Because they've strayed so far from His calling, from His commandments, that He had to say, listen, this is the mark where you have crossed the line, and I'm here to tell you that this will not go on. And unfortunately, He had to assert Himself to show that He is God, for the Israelites to understand that they cannot just continue as they want. And for our lives, it's critical as well. We sometimes lose that fear, that understanding of who God is in a very real and intimate way that I think it's something we will not understand if God was to pitch here today in His full glory. It will not be like, hey, Jacques, like it. I wonder sometimes how that would be. From the Bible, we get some clues and some understanding of what it would be like to be in His presence. And it would be literally that you would be in this position. I had to do that. Because I don't understand that. I have to be honest. I don't know what would drive me to that place where I would want to fall on my face and disappear into the earth. And it's that place that you have to have to be very wary of. And it's that association that we sometimes make. We have to make ourselves, we have to internalize the presence of God and who He is. And we actually had this funny story. My parents, they live in New Zealand now for lots of years. But they had friends that also immigrated to New Zealand. And they had quite young kids at that stage. And they, their husband, being an Afrikaner man, he had quite a lot of difficulty with the English. So, but his kids being kids, they always wanted to have friends over. But kids being kids sometimes mess up, and then the dad would get angry. But in his anger, he would not be able to express himself in English, and he would immediately cross over to Afrikaans, which his children understood, but the English kiwis had no cooking clue what he was saying. And they would just realize, okay, this is trouble. So as time progressed, they later realized, okay, if this woman is starting Afrikaans, they have to start run, because they just associated with trouble. And that association is what I think the Israelites also had the problem with, because they could only associate with God when there was problems, when trouble came, when they sinned, when they missed the mark. God had to intervene. But that is not who God is. That is not who He wants to be. That it was not how He created us to be. And it's so sad because there's such an intimacy that God wanted to share with us that it was mind-blowing. It was a concept that is so foreign to us now that it's, we cannot compare, we cannot understand it. Because if you look at the Old Testament, when God created heaven and earth and everything, and he created man in his image, and everything was good in God's word, meaning it was perfect, glorious, unimaginably beautiful. And that's what God did. But more than that, he gave Adam and Eve a mandate over this earth to say, go and prosper. Fill this world with everything I've gave you. Give names to every living creature. Adam must have been a really, really smart man to be able to do that. Because I think only a quarter of the animals that lived then is currently still alive on this earth. And that's millions and millions and millions. And he named each and every one. But Adam and Eve dwelled in the garden. They had fellowship with God. His presence would arrive. And I think that was something that if man today was to see God, they would die. From the word of God, it's so clear that if you were to come face to face with God, you would certainly die if he did not cover you, if he did not protect you. And it's that place that I think Adam and Eve, they were covered with the glory and the holiness of God simply because they were with him the whole time. They had fellowship with him, intimate fellowship, in a way that was face to face. And they had that experience of God, of that glory, that fullness. But they had it themselves because they were pure, blemishless. And that was something that God just allowed them to experience him in his fullness, in his glory. But unfortunately, they made that mistake of losing that glory, that fullness. Now, if you think of this part that I'm saying, that covering that Adam and Eve had, it's something that you can see with Moses as well. When he went up Mount Sinai and he received the tablets, when he came back down, we can read from Exodus 34 to 29, 34 from 29 to 30. I think it will be up there. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hands, he came down from the mountain. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Do you understand that? Because I certainly don't. But that's a revelation of who God is. If you spend time with him, real intimate time with him, face to face. And that is the place where I think Adam and Eve, they had that glory upon them because they spent so much time with God in his presence. Now that for me is mind-blowing and something I can never understand. Hopefully one day I will. But there was the unfortunate part that their eyes were opened. And that glory fell from them. And we see that in Genesis 3 from verse 5 to 7. For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now this is the serpent speaking to the woman. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took off its fruit and ate and also gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they saw that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. I think that speaks of that glory falling from them. When the eyes were opened for the first time, they could see who they really were. And they were misled by the serpent to think that they would actually be gods. But with that realization, when that glory fell from them, they realized they were creations made by a creator, the perfect God. And they just stuffed it up completely. And that sin separated us from God. To this day is the reason why the earth is groaning. That sin that was committed then separated everything from God, His presence, in the order that He wanted this earth to be and created it to be. And that's something we'll get back to a bit later. But we can see from Genesis 3, from verse 8 to 11, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he told, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you to eat?" And that's just that part that God asks the question that He already knows the answer to. But you have to answer that question for yourself and come to the understanding of what the implications of that question is. And that's that place of separation where fear, where fellowship was the fellowship and intimacy was before that step, and afterward there was fear. Being afraid of going into His presence, knowing that something has changed. And that intimacy that was lost, God wants to restore. That we can have that intimacy with Him in such an amazing way. And it was something so profound for me in that sermon that just kept in my heart, knocking at that door and saying, "I want to have intimacy." So now we get to that place of who wants to define what intimacy is. No hands. JP.
Oops. Total acceptance of who you are, of the being of a person, no rejection, a home, comfort, safe place.
Amen. Anybody else? No takers. Okay. Okay, I also would be afraid to do this, because to define intimacy is something that I went to the dictionary actually, and I got quite a few. This is just a summary. The state of being intimate, and that's what the definition is. But that was such a beautiful description I once heard. Intimacy. That you can see into me. Everything. Nothing is hidden. But the state of being intimate. Now, intimate, I also got a definition for. And this was a summary of that. Belonging to or characterizing one's deepest nature, marked by a very close association, contact, or familiarity, marked by a warm friendship developing through long association, suggesting informal warmth or privacy of a very personal or private nature, closely acquainted, familiar. Now, there are lots of synonyms associated with this, basically what you see there. So intimacy can mean a lot of things, a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But the one thing that struck me is the antonym of intimacy. And this was everything that intimacy is not. Distant. Distance. That was it. That was the description. And that just so shook me, because this, I can't explain what intimacy is, but I can explain what intimacy is not. So if you feel distant from God, you have intimacy issues. And that distance is something that was so, it can happen. And over the last few sermons that we've heard from Yankor and from Philip, that intimacy was so pronounced in every aspect that I almost just want to repeat what they said, and I will to a certain degree. And that is something that we have to understand in our hearts of hearts, that our intimacy with God is determined by the distance that is between us and God. And what is keeping you at that distance? What is keeping you in that place where you are, that I am? That's why I think why I felt so condemned, because I just realized my intimacy with God is nowhere in a place where it should be. It is that place that you allow God to see into you. And he can see into you whether you want to or not. But as we're going into that place of relationship, of going to God and knowing, God, you can see into me. You see every aspect of who I am. And you still love me the same. And that is just the part that is so mind-blowing, that God wanted this intimacy. He still wants to have this intimacy. And for so many years it was lost. And then by his grace and through his son Jesus, we were able just to close that gap again. That distance that was developing, that has developed over years and years. And we as Christians today have no excuse to allow any distance between us and God. Should not have any excuse. So if you feel condemned, that's just God speaking to your heart. And that's something that you have to take up with God. And say, God, I want to have that intimacy. I want to be in that place that I can show you my heart, show you my being, and not be afraid for you to judge me. Not be afraid for you to love me. And this is just in the church. There's so many aspects of what we can experience God, how we can experience God, if we just allow him. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And that's God's word for us. But how hungry are you for that intimacy? How hungry are you for that love? I once had a story, I think it was Archimedes or somebody. Was it Archimedes? I can't remember now which one. But one of these old wise men. And there was this young guy that also wanted to have this wisdom, this knowledge. And he would pester this, let's say Archimedes. He would pester him so much. He said, I want to know what you know. I want to learn what you learn. And Archimedes at one stage got so fed up with this guy, he went for a swim. And this guy followed him. And he said, I want to have what you have. I want to know what you know. And the guy, and Archimedes just looked at him. And he took his head and he pushed it underneath the water. And he held him there and he let him up. He said, what do you want? I want your knowledge. I want to know what you know. And he pushed him down again. He held him there a bit longer. They led him up and I said, what do you want? I want to know what you know. I want what you have. And he pushed him down again. This time he held him long. And this guy started struggling. He could feel him. And I just let him go. And I said, what do you want? I want the air. And he told him, if you crave knowledge and wisdom as much as you crave air now, you will have it. So how hungry are you for love and intimacy with God? Is that a passion? Is that your delight? Because God made every avenue for us possible. He tore the veil. He closed the distance when his son died for us on the cross. In Matthew 27, from verse 50 to 51. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. And the holiest of holies was opened. The symbolism, the spiritual symbolism that we can enter into the holiest of holies because of God's sacrifice of his son. That Jesus took our sin and iniquity that separated us, that placed distance between us and God, took it upon himself and restored love and intimacy. In John 3 from verse 16 to 21, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And from that, nothing can separate us from loves, from God's love and intimacy. In Romans 8, from verse 35 to 39, whom shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trial, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, you are all being killed all day long, as we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is such an amazing promise of love and intimacy, that we have the promise that we can have it. We just have to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. How close are you to God today? How desperate are you for his love and his intimacy? And this brings us to the part that Philip shared as well, Pastor Philip, in the last few sermons for the prodigal son. I will not read you the whole story of the prodigal son. There was just one part I wanted to focus on, and that is in Luke 15 from verse 16. Well, let's start from 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he set him into his fields to feed swine. And he, sorry, this is not on the screen. This is something I've now added, so if you could turn with me to your Bibles. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf here, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. There was two aspects that I wanted to focus on here and repeat actually what Pastor Philip said. And that's basically that distance that was closed, removed. The prodigal son was hungry and he knew where he could still his hunger. But he knew he had to go home to his father to receive enough to eat, to be able to have more than enough, some to spare even. And that just speaks of that place that we as Christians have to be and have to be aware of. We have to run to God. He cannot come to us where we sit with the pigs, being hungry, starving for his love, when we can just return home and receive it. And that's the aspect that we as Christians have to really, really understand, that we can only distance ourselves from God. God can distance him from us. Only we can control that distance. And we have to really search our hearts and our minds and see what is keeping us from God's presence. What is keeping that intimacy that God wants to share with us. And this calls us, this brings us to another aspect that is also a focus for us as a church globally, the harvest. We even fasted this week. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And this prodigal son knew where his hunger could be stilled. But in the world out there, how many people knows where that hunger for love and intimacy can be satisfied. How many people do you share this message of love, of mercy, of grace? If you feel a bit condemned, that's not me. Amen. So quiet. I must give somebody else the mic to preach. And that's the harvest that we have to focus on. For people in this world are so unaware of God's love and intimacy and grace and His promises. And they are dying. So many people giving up their lives, what they hold dear, just to experience love. So many daughters that have never experienced love from their fathers. And they sell their own bodies just to experience some attribute of love. So many guys running around wanting to experience love and breaking themselves in that process. And we are the light. We can shine the light. We're supposed to shine the light. We're supposed to have that intimacy, and people should look at us and tell us, I want to be like you. I want to have what you have. Can people say that of you? How hungry are you for intimacy and love with the Father? How desperate are you for that? And as you follow after God, He will just respond. It is His nature. He can only respond with that love and that grace that He has, that He has created from the beginning. And there was something that was so in my heart that I just knew I need to change something. I need to do something different. I need to close this distance, this gap that I feel between me and God. What is that distance for you today? What is this distance that you have placed between you and God? How far are you from God today? Are you experiencing His love, His intimacy? Do you spend time with Him? Does your troubles rule over you, or does God rule over your troubles? Because you can be in a place of absolute despair, but still know God in an intimate way. And there would be something different there. So I just want you to play us a song. I don't want us to worship now. I just want you to bow your heads. Just speak to God. Just spend time with God. Ask Him what is that distance between you. If it's there. I'm not saying it's there, but is there a distance that you can't explain? Is there something that you want to remove right here, right now? I'll just allow for a few moments. just want to extend an invitation. If you feel that there's a distance between you and God that you can't explain, that you just want to remove, just raise your hand. Just say, God, I don't want that distance. I want to have that intimate relationship with you that just takes me to the next level, that just shows me there's something different. There's something that has to change within my heart. And thanks for the hands. If you're here for the first time and you don't know this relationship, you don't know this God that wants to love you, cherish you, shows you each and every promise that He has for you is true. If you don't know this God, I would just want to extend that invitation to you to raise your hand as well. Say, God, I want to know this God. I want to experience this love. I want to experience this intimacy in a way that I've never experienced upon this earth. If that's you, just raise your hand as well. Something specific. I will ask everybody to come to the front and raise their hands. But there's a lady as well. I just feel in my heart. I don't know. It's a lady specifically. And you just have this pain in your heart that separates you from God. And you think it's God that is just punishing you. I just want to tell you it's not God. It is you that is punishing yourself. I don't know if it's unforgiveness or something in your heart that just separates you from God, but it's you that's separating yourself from God. And God is just standing there, His hands extended to say, I'm here. You don't have to suffer like that. You don't have to experience that rejection that you're feeling within your heart because it's not of God. He would not reject you. He would save you every time you call His name. He will be there for you. We'll just ask that you also come to the front if that's you. Okay, guys, everybody that raised their hand, just quickly come to the front. We just want to pray for you. If there's any other prayers that you feel in your heart, please come to the front. We would love to pray for you. So there's some coffee at the back. Please enjoy some coffee and get warm if you've gotten cold in the sitting there. There'll be some worship as well. So if you want to dance, enjoy, make yourself warm before enjoying a cup of coffee, please be so. And I hope to see you soon. I just quickly want to pray, close with us in prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your love and intimacy, Father, that just goes beyond any understanding and concept of what we have on this earth, Lord. We just pray, Father, for a new knowledge, a new revelation, Father, of your love for us, Father. And Lord, as we draw near to you, Father, you draw near to us, Father. And we want to be in a place, Father, that we get excited to see you, Father, and start running towards you and not be like the Israelites that when you start coming towards us, we start running because we're afraid. And the fear that Adam had in the beginning when after his sin, Lord God, that is not your purpose, Father, to come to us, Father, as a father that wants to punish, Lord God. Sin has consequences, but you would never reject the sinner, Lord God. And you would love us wherever we go, Father. Whatever we do, Father, you call us to you. And we thank you, Lord, for that love and that grace that just abounds to each and every person, Father. And Father, we pray, Father, that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would convict in our hearts and our souls, Lord, of the people that you want to see saved, Lord God. For people that you're calling to yourself, Lord God, and they are running through this world, Lord, blind, Lord, to the fact, Lord, and the truth, Lord, that you love them. And they are hurting themselves in the process, Father God. We pray, Father, that you would open up our hearts and our eyes, Lord, to see that need, Lord God. That we are able, Lord, to have that intimate relationship with you, Father. And by that, Lord God, people can see there's something different in our hearts and our minds. And they have a hunger for that, Lord God. And we have a platform that we can extend, Lord, that love towards them, Father. Just to give them a small piece of what we can experience and what we have experienced through you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for that grace, Lord, that that we have in our hearts, that we carry in our hearts, that we can just extend, Lord, to those around us as well. And we pray, Father, that you gird up our legs, Lord God, that we will not be afraid, Father, of speaking to people, Lord God, of bringing your message of hope and love, Lord, to a world that is so lost. And Father, that nothing can separate them from your love, Lord. No sin that cannot be confessed before your throne, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you will use us as a house, Lord God. That this house will be a tower on a hill, Lord God. A light on a hill, Father, that will show the way, Father, to those that are hungry. That for those that are thirsty, Lord. And that we can stand in a place and a hope and trust in you, Father. We pray that you use us in Jesus' name. Amen.